And he was a good psychologist. And Linda's there, and Billy and Peter are there, and they're pretty young. You know, I don't know, they're maybe 6 and 4, something like that. 6, 7, 5 and 7. And, you know, and I'm really struggling. My business is going down the chute. I don't know why I'm busting my ass 2 or 3 hours a day, and it just isn't working. And it is. I'm talking to this guy about maybe going broke, and he looked at me and he said, "Why are you so afraid of failing?" I wanted to punch him. I really wanted to punch him. And I said, "Why am I afraid of failing?" I said, "Look, you're a doctor. I said, if you fail or you go bankrupt," he said, "all you do is pick your little sign up, walk down the hall, pound it on a different door. Within 6 months, you're making $100,000. I said, "I'm in the real estate investment business, and I'm about to go bankrupt in the city that I was born in. And I said, I'm about to lose everything I had." I said, "Nod your head up and down if you understand that, because it's, you know." And he looked at my wife, and he said, "If Bob lost everything he had, would he lose you?" My wife said, "No, wouldn't lose me." And he looked at the boys and he said, "If your father lost everything he had, would he lose you?" And the boys said, "No, wouldn't lose us." If you can't lose, you can't play. I was a guy who I could, you know, if we were going to have a marathon, I'd talk and act and sound like a great runner. I'd have good tennis shoes and nice running. I'd tell you that I'd won some race in Minnesota. And when the race took off, you'd expect me to be in the front, and I'd be in the front for the first third of the race. But somewhere between third and halfway through the race, I'd fall down, hurt myself. I wouldn't finish the race. And when the race is done, someone would say, "What happened to that guy from Minnesota?" He says, "I don't know. He got maybe pulled a hamstring." Hell of a guy. He won some race in Minnesota. But if you would have followed me around in a helicopter in my life for the previous 10 years, you could have guessed within 50 feet of when I would have fallen down, because I don't finish anything. It gets old. It gets real old. And not too long after that, I was home in my living room, and I had a lousy day. I went to work late, left early, got in a backgammon game. I won $600. I got in a fight with my wife and slapped one of the kids. One of those days you'd like to have videotaped and sent to the General Service Office to show what 8 years of sobriety can do for you. And I said, "Gee, it happened again." And I said, "It happened again. Weren't you there?" I'm saying, "Yeah, I was there, but I mean, this stuff is so habitual, I don't even have to think about it. It's like it happens in a blackout. It's like it just happens out." And all of a sudden, I realized that was a bunch of crap. I realized that my life was the way it was because I designed it that way. I sounded like a guy who wanted to quit gambling. I wanted to gamble whenever I wanted to gamble for as much money as I wanted to gamble and not have problems with gambling. I wanted money without work. I wanted my wife's and children's affection without spending time with them. Not a very good design. And all of a sudden I realized that I had tried pretty goddamn hard to clean my act up and I had failed. Now, I've had a lot of thoughts about failure. I have this mantra: you're a jerk and your life doesn't work. It's not a very good affirmation. If you're going to pick an affirmation, you probably wouldn't want to pick that one. But that was a thought that ran through my mind all the time. And the problem with that is, how do you deal with being a jerk? I mean, it's too general. It's pretty hard to deal with being a horse's ass. I mean, it's a hard thing to get your hands around. But that was kind of what I did to myself during that process. All of a sudden, I realized that I had tried pretty hard to correct those defects of character and failed. And then for the first time, I had a thought, maybe that's where you're supposed to be. And I'd never had that thought before. And that night I was given the opportunity to take the 6th and the 7th step of the program of AA. The 6th step said they were entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. And the 7th step said we humbly ask and remove our shortcomings. I had spent 8 years trying to get rid of them. I don't have the power to get rid of them. I am the pipe, not the well. It happens through me, not by me. I am not the source of that. I had the information. I knew what to do. I did not have the power to do it. That night, out of fear, maybe of getting drunk, but more of being just a sober ass, I got down on my knees, I took the 6 and the 7 step, and 4 of the major issues in my life disappeared that night in my living room, such as the power of the program, the power of the 6 and the 7 step, the power of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. But another funny thing, I've made lots of promises before, and I've not been able to keep them, and I knew that about myself. And so I started to put some things in place that I thought would support that change. So I turned the checkbook over to my wife. She doesn't have the issues with ego and money that I have. And she can pay a third of a bill. Goddamnedest thing I've ever heard of. And and she had us out of financial difficulty within a year. I quit gambling that night. I made appointments with my sponsor about when I'd go to work, when I would leave work. I remember that I'd go out, I was trying to sell real estate investments in those days, and I remember going out to this big office tower to call on an executive to sell him a $10,000 investment in a real estate deal my partner and I were putting together. I have a partner who was sober 42 years in AA. We've been partners 35 years. And my job at this time was to sell this stuff, and I would not make calls. I'd just lie about what I was doing. And I wouldn't even take the chance that you'd grab me by the shirt and pull me over the desk and force me to sell you something. And I remember I went out in the parking lot in the car reading the 3rd step prayer to get my butt out of the car to go make a call that I knew wouldn't work. And I went and called on this big deal guy, and he bought it. And as a result of buying that investment, our company made $1,000. I remember I was in the elevator on the way down, and I had this thought. And the thought was, gee, if a guy did that regularly. My mother always said, Bob, you're not very bright. Dress well. And I have And I started dating my wife. I've dated my wife. We've stopped doing it, and although we compensate in other ways. We're doing a lot of traveling together. But I dated my wife every Friday night for 25 years. It was a real live, dangerous date. No one else went out on it. It was just the two of us. We got dressed up. We went out. Sometimes went to a movie, but mostly we went out to dinner. It was romantic. You know, I had her love and affection with everybody else's approval I was trying to get, and I had to go back and learn. I mean, all of a sudden, we're talking about kids and bills. And that wasn't how we fell in love. We had to go back and kind of learn how to be romantic and go shack up in Chicago or go do this and, you know, do different things and get a little, you know, get back and be attractive to each other. And that was one of the best things we ever did. And I spent hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars trying to learn how to be a better parent. I think being a parent takes 125% of whatever you have. I think having kids is like having a bowling alley installed in your head. I just think it's one of the most... It is, you know,